when I'm fine. Dear, cut him off in his prime then. Right, good evening and welcome to the Pleasure Dome that is the Naked Football Show. Tonight we welcome for the first time this season an ICR presenter whose rather excellent show starts immediately after this rubbish, and he is Martin Simmons.
Why, thank you, Grant. Hello.
Hello. Joining Martin is a naked virgin, a very wise naked virgin, we might say, in the shape of lifelong Tan fan Terry Holden.
Good evening.
And, of course, making up our team tonight is those with the day's Phil Ham.
Hello.
Right.
Well, hello.
Hello, he says. Hello. And two matches to discuss and anything else that takes your fancy. So, usual rules, email studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on 07973 851 968. Nottingham, Phil, do you want to go first? Because you're the only... Well, me and you went, didn't we? And that's it. So we better get that one out of the way.
Well, actually, we could do Swansea first because everyone was there and then we can kind of move on to Nottingham. Swansea was Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, we'll do Swansea first.
Graham, Swansea.
Swansea. not much different to Nottingham, really, actually. I thought we had more play against Nottingham than we did against Swansea, didn't you? I thought we had more possession.
Yeah, I think that's true. I thought that... I mean, what I'd say about most of our performances at the moment is we have spells where we're pretty good, and then we have spells when we're not very good, and we then concede stupid goals, which was mainly the case Saturday. Yesterday at Nottingham was probably the better of the two performances.
Yeah.
But other than the penalty, Lee Camp really had nothing to do at all. I can't, with the exception of the shot that John Walters hit the bar with, it's difficult to... I mean, David Wright hit something over the bar from the edge of the area, but other than that, you can't really think of any... I mean, I can't think of any other chance that we had, can you?
No.
We had a lot of possession.
Loads of possession. Loads and loads of possession.
First half, we were having a lot of possession kind of in that area, just beyond the halfway line, sort of 5 yards...
In their half.
Five yards from the penalty area. So there was that kind of strip that we could play the ball in quite nicely. And they were just sat back. And then they were kind of dangerous on the break.
Yeah.
But with Tyson and McCleary, is it, I think it was... But really, you know, we're still, you know, you look at the performances and think, well, we've still got to be better than that, really. I mean, Forest aren't a particularly good side, judging by their position at the bottom of the table. Swansea, I think, are a better side, and I don't think we'll struggle at all this season. They look like a very established team that passed the ball well, although, having said that, I don't think they created very many chances. But I would... you know, we still look a long way from a team that's going to compete at the top end of the division. Don't you lads agree?
Yeah. Martin, Terry, who wants to go? Talk about the Swansea game then.
Well,
what did you make of it?
Well, what can you say that hadn't been said already? It's much the muchness. What worries me is that we don't seem to have any patterns of play to cope with these teams. I mean, we complain that when teams come and defend solidly and we can't break them down, and you know, we complain and say, well, these teams who come and make boring and this sort of thing. But when teams like Wolves and Swansea, who come and play an open game, we still can't cope with them. We are just going round in circles, I think, and can anybody actually write down what the team will be on Saturday again for Plymouth?
Yeah.
It's just chopping and changing.
I agree. I think the lack of a settled side is a factor in it. I couldn't believe that he again went with one up front last night. I think that Stead and Canago have got a promising partnership there if they'll only give them a few games together. But, and again with the midfield, just, you know, changing every game. Was Norris injured last night?
I think what it probably is he had a bit of a knock after Saturday, didn't
right.
he? And I don't think he wanted to risk him, particularly with Plymouth coming up on Saturday.
I don't think we're big enough to do a squad rotation system, you know. And I don't think Majorton knows what his best 11 is. And that's a worry to me. He's been there long enough. It's as if he's trying to justify all his signings by giving them all some time on the pitch, almost.
Mm. I mean, it's difficult to keep that number of players happy, but,
yeah.
You know, at the same time, I think there's an argument saying, has he got too many players?
I agree, the squad is bloated, yeah.
He's far too large, and I don't think he can see the wood for the trees himself now. He's got himself in such a muddle. He keeps moving people around. Well, he played quite well, but... it'd be better if he moved into there and put somebody else in and you shuffle it around, and in the end I don't think he knows really what his supposed best team is.
Oh, actually I think, I mean, at the moment he's playing five in midfield away from home in most games. I mean, I think that Southampton and at Sheffield Wednesday started playing 4-4-2. We didn't look any good, so he switched it around. I think actually at one of those games, Southampton, I think he switched around after 5 minutes. But and then he started with five in midfield at Charlton, and we were poorer with five in midfield, and he switched to 4-4-2. Last night, I think probably because of the experience at Sheffield Wednesday and at Southampton, where I think you were at both those games, Graham, weren't you? I thought we were much better with five in midfield at Southampton and Sheffield Wednesday.
No, I wasn't.
Well, just agree with me anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree with you though.
And I think that's probably what he was thinking about last night, is kind of getting possession and keeping it, because, you know, I think we are a side that are capable, or we've got the players that are capable of outpassing teams, but we don't seem to be able to do it away from home without having five in midfield a lot of the time.
I'm sure that's his thinking, but I think we've got enough good midfielders that we could play four in midfield against a team like Notts Forest and still hope to win that battle, you know.
But there again, I mean, everyone kind of makes this assumption that 4-5-1 is inherently negative. I don't necessarily think it's inherently negative. If you play, I mean, John Walters, I think actually in the first half we got caught out a few times yesterday because John Walters was so far advanced down the right flank.
Right.
And you had Tommy Miller sort of as a third central midfielder.
But then you said we hardly created a chance last night with one up front, so...
No.
It didn't even be inherently negative, but it doesn't really seem to be working.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's necessarily working, but there's this kind of assumption of playing 4-5-1, oh, we're too scared of the opposition, do you know what I mean? Whereas... I don't necessarily think that can be the case, because I think that, you know, sometimes it becomes like a 4-3-3 when you have, say, Walters on one flank and, I don't know, the left winger we've been looking for about two years on the left. Do you see what I mean?
Well, we had that almost at the beginning of the last season at home, when we had Billy Clark playing
wide,
and it went wonderfully well.
Mm.
And then he's decided to start tinkering with it come December, and bringing Danny Haynes in and putting him on the right, and it went downhill from then, and he's never recovered.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose there's two things with that. One is we were desperately trying to get a win away from home, because and I think to some extent there were so many changes made to try and change things so we got a win away that it affected the home form. And the other thing was, which I've actually forgotten now, was that sides were starting to learn from us a bit, in that early on in the season, having John Walters as the big kind of Steve Whitten, James Scowcroft player wide on the right, against a 5'9", 5'10" fullback, he was winning everything in the air. But once you started to get to around Christmas time, opposition were putting centre halves at left back, counteracts. I think Burnley and Scunthorpe both did that.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps to some extent why things sort of. Because, I mean.
But then if they're doing that, that must create an opening somewhere else, or a weakness somewhere else that you then should be try and take advantage of somewhere else on the pitch.
It creates a weakness in as much as they've got a centre half playing at left back, who isn't probably going to get forward very much. So yeah, as you say, there's a weakness to exploit. I mean, coming on to the home form last season, I mean, although we all kind of go, oh, last season's home form was fantastic, home form in second half wasn't actually that brilliant. We got a lot of draws in the second half of last season. Which, to be fair, isn't a million miles away from where we've been this season. We've one defeat in eight. I think I said one defeat in seven in the paper today, but that's because at 3 o'clock in the morning last night I was too tired to count. But five of those have been draws.
The two wins in the last ten. You look at it that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, you can improve a lot of things with stats in a way, can't you? And I think there's kind of mad things about the number of points from a relegation spot is almost exactly the same as the number of points from a playoff spot at the moment.
Well, the weakness in that is argument. You said we got 3 points clear, I think, of the relegation spot, and five from the top. But it's not how many points you are away from the top. It's how many teams between.
Well, there is.
And there are 11 teams between us and the playoff. Now, you'd say, well, we win the next two games and the sixth team lose the next two games. Mm. We're up there, but we're not, because all those 11 teams, but not all of those are going to lose both their games.
No, I can't possibly.
And this is where you get this sort of thing that's, oh, we're only so many points off.
Yeah.
If we were in 7th or 8th position, only 5 points off, then that would be different.
Then also, I think this season we were aspiring to something more than staying in touch with the 6th place team.
Well, do you think expectations were too high? I mean, everyone kind of expectations were high because we spent so much money over the summer and so many players came in. But at the same time, do you think that the number of players that came in all in one go should have actually perhaps lowered expectations in the short term?
They didn't all come in. What, I mean, Norris and Shumakoski and that.
Well, I was thinking more of the eight over the summer rather than the four or whatever it was in January. And do you think that we kind of perhaps should have been expecting a kind of period of settling in?
Well, okay, but I think that's gone now. I think it's gone. And also, the football club, to a certain extent, to blame.
Oh, yeah, that, I think that's
because
true.
They, you know, they try and flog their season tickets at the end of March time, and how wonderful, and how invested again, and see us on our way to the promotion and all this type of thing. So that builds up expectations, and then you turn up and find, well, nothing much happened. We're much the same as we were last season.
Mm. I think they perhaps should have done something more to kind of dampen expectation as we went into the first game of the season, because we went into the first game and the general feeling was, right, we're going to steamroller everybody at home because we've got this, you know, shiny new team with loads of players building on top of the success we had last year. Whereas, you know, I think there was one interview with Brian Klug on Ipswich World or something that said, where he said, well, you know, the team isn't going to gel immediately, it will take a few weeks. I mean, especially as August really became an additional spell of pre-season while new further transfers came in.
But my worry is that Magilton's been there long enough to know what his best 11 is, and I don't think he...
I don't think he's a million miles away from that, though. I mean,
really?
Goalkeeper, I mean, obviously he's going with Richard Wright, even though, you know, Richard Wright's made a few mistakes.
Yeah.
I think that's fairly well documented. Defensively, the back four has been fairly stable since Ben Thatcher got injured.
Well, stable, Thatcher, but not successful.
Partly.
Thatcher got injured, Bruce was suspended for three games. Since then, it's been
But, I mean, you could pick the back four pretty much every week for the last month, because it's going to be...
But do you think it's our best back four? I'm not convinced.
Well, I think it's the best back four we've got at the moment.
I'd love to see Bulkerstein giving a go. When he came on as centre-half against Reading, I thought he played really well.
Yeah.
I like Bruce as well. I'm not convinced by McCauley and Naylor as a centre-back pairing.
I prefer Naylor to Bruce, I have to say. McCauley, experience-wise... I mean, the difficult thing with young centre-halves is, and young players generally, is bringing them into a losing team. I mean, does it give them too much, or a drawing team? But a lot of these draws feel like defeats, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
McCauley should be used to it. He was at Leicester last year.
Yeah, that's true.
The thing with McCauley that disappoints me is he doesn't have a commanding presence. Like, De Vos, for all his limitations, you know, he was a commanding presence at the back. Mm. But McCauley almost looks kind of, I don't know, a bit diffident. He's not very... He doesn't look like someone who...
He doesn't look like a captain.
Dominates.
He's not as outgoing, is he? Vocally, certainly. Mm. But I suppose, you know, he is still settling into the club. He's only a few weeks into his time here, isn't he? So I don't know whether it's that, but...
But see, I have a theory about Magilton's problems. I brought upon by himself.
Yeah.
The problem was, when he was appointed, what he should have done, I think, is got an experienced coach alongside somebody...
Well, he got three...
Yeah, I know, but, what do you call
Brian
it? Not at Steve first Foley. Team, top first team level. I'm not saying they're bad.
Steve Foley's experienced first team coach.
He's what, technical skills coach or something. I mean, the man who was the direct right-hand man. He would have been helpful. Yeah, but Charlie Woods sits up in the god. You know, he doesn't, I don't think he does it that much, active. He doesn't go to all the games, as far as I can see. I saw him on the railway station the other week when we were playing. So.
Well, he might have been scouting somewhere.
I saw him unlike, he was on Ipswich Station.
But I
just think that he was a rookie manager, and what he's got is, I'm not saying anything against the coaches, they're probably fine coaches, but I wonder whether they're too much of perhaps yes men sort of thing. Don't sort of say to Jim, hold on a second, you know, this is not working, we don't want to go down that road. An experience that who perhaps, you know, didn't need the money, so he can, you know, he's not desperate for the job, so he can stand up to Jim and say, no, this is not the right way. Just to guide him, it's a bit late now, he's had nearly three seasons, so
but
I think that may have been a fault to start with, if it had got off on the right foot.
I mean, it's impossible.
An experienced assistant.
Well, it's impossible to say what the sort of relationship is, really, without kind of behind the doors. I know that the reason Brian Klug, it was kind of seen as Jim and Brian, wasn't it, when they first came in, because to some extent Brian Klug had been a bit of a kind of mentor for Jim in the kind of years beforehand, while Jim was kind of in his latter days of playing and looking towards management, I know that he kind of looked at Brian Klug as a kind of a coach to who he could sort of mould himself on to some extent. So he certainly had that kind of there was an influence from Brian Klug. And Steve Foley, you know, is a very highly rated coach, and you know, admittedly he worked at Norwich, but you know, he was at Norwich during a kind of spell when they were doing fairly well. And also, I think actually it was something like he's been caretaker manager at Colchester about 8 times. Yeah. Really ridiculous, isn't it? So I mean, he's got, you know, they've all got experience in the game.
Is he, you know, strong enough? I mean, the only this again is assumption, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but Andy Rhodes seemed to go very soon after, apparently would appear to have sort of questioned or criticised or whatever towards the end of last season. And then
he
went.
What did he question?
I don't know. Right? There was, the theory was whether, perhaps where was his son, whether he should ought to be given more chances or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it always made a difficult relation when you've got a family.
I don't think it had anything to do with his son.
But I just wonder whether that, again, that thought, well, it's better leave because Jim is not going to take advice or whatever. I don't know. It's theory again. You can't.
Just move on. Do you, Phil, do you really think, do you see us moving in the right direction? Do you, can you see this improving under Majorton? Because I've been really patient with Majorton. I like him. I want him to succeed. I you know, when I hear him speak after the match, I'm always quite impressed with what he says. But then when it comes to the performances and the teams he picks, I'm really, really unsure now. And when he took Stead off at the weekend, I'm not sure he knows what he's doing.
Can I dive in here? Sorry.
Yeah,
because we haven't covered any emails. Well, this is from Steve from North Ferriby. I probably won't be able to cover the lot because there's quite a few points, but one of his points was about taking Stead off, and he says that he can't understand why everyone booed because Stead wasn't playing very well, and I totally agree. I thought Stead was pretty bad on Saturday.
Did you?
He didn't exactly replace him with a midfielder because
he signed him to start with. But
he shunted Walters up front anyway, and I think Walters had a far better game.
I don't agree. But
I think he certainly needs to change things because we really drifted out of the match.
Campo had to go off.
Yeah, he switched Campo and he brought Garvin in centre midfield, didn't he? And I mean, to be honest, I'd imagine he would probably have started with Garvin on Saturday had Garvin not been off with the Republic of Ireland 21s on the previous Wednesday or whatever, and had we not got another game Tuesday, another game Saturday, another game the following Tuesday. I don't know, I suppose you've got to look at where you can make changes in those circumstances. I mean, presumably, I didn't think Walters was playing particularly well at right midfield either.
No, I agree that Walters played better after that.
Yeah, I don't know, the manager's got to do something, hasn't he, really, and when the side is kind of not looking good, and to be honest, I thought that it actually made a difference. And to be honest, against Swansea, you look at the number of chances we created. If we created far more chances than they did, even though you could probably say that they played the better football, which is probably the opposite case at Forest.
But first off, we didn't have any control of midfield. I thought that
after the first 15 minutes, Campo, they dominated.
I thought Norwich played very well, but Campo didn't do much.
No.
Put them together. I mean, Garvin will be one of the first names on my team.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the best 11,
certainly in home games.
But he's been in and out of the team so much this season. And okay, on international duty and all the rest of it, but
it's part of the footballer's life nowadays. They're trained to that sort of level of fitness and sort of thing.
I thought Sumo played well last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he did alright. Yeah, it's first.
So that's the first game he's played for about 3 years.
Yeah.
On Saturday it'll probably be a completely different midfield combination. It'll probably be better than Norris and Campbell or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think coming back to the point about the side being unsettled, if it's a home match, I think at the moment you can pretty much say what the side is going to be, with the exception of centre midfield, because you probably say that the defence is the four that we said earlier. Walters will probably be on the right, Quinn will probably be on the left, Pablo and Stead will probably start. But it's the centre midfield.
And we've got about 12 centre midfielders. Well,
and Chris Rand said on the website recently it was something like 12 different combinations in 12 games. I think it's actually up to 15 different central midfield combinations in 15 games now.
Which is incredible.
Which is.
Do you think he knows what his first choice is? Or at least first choice for home games is?
No, I mean, I actually wonder whether we should be talking about first choices in that kind of first 11 sort of way in this era. Rightly or wrongly, football has gone in the direction of picking from a squad.
But surely still there would be one pairing, or maybe even at a stretch two pairings that as a manager you felt were
the best two. Oh, I would say that no dominant front midfield pairing has certainly emerged so far, has it?
No. But maybe that's because he hasn't given anyone a chance.
I think what he's trying to do is to give everybody experience of playing with one another, as it were, in order that all the players are used to playing within the pattern. Do you see what I mean? Getting the squad...
How long do you go on doing that?
Well, what do you mean?
Do we keep doing this till the end of February or whatever, you know, switching around and we're still doodling around mid-table?
Well, I certainly think that the way that they're approaching things is to play... is not to find the first 11 in the kind of old traditional sense, but to have the whole squad sort of... blended into the pattern that the team plays when they happen to get their chance, which is the kind of dominant theory within Premier League football, if not necessarily at the level that we're playing at the moment.
I haven't got the players that went to afford to do that at that level.
Okay, that may be what he's doing, but it's not working.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's working, but yeah, I think that's what he's trying to do.
You establish on the training ground to a certain extent as well. You know, find out who you think works best with who else on the, rather than experimenting on the pitch.
But looking at how the team has lined up over the last 3 months, I certainly think that's what he's trying to do, rather than trying to have a very settled 11
But I don't particularly like it.
No. I mean, you know, the point is though that he has got. It appears from what Derek Bowden has said and various other people, the business management of the club, that the owner of the club is very much backing Jim to be the manager long term and to build a team over a period of time rather than wanting the kind of short term success.
You had a vote thing on those websites 2 weeks ago about should Jim. Do we need a new manager? And it was about 50-50,
Changed now, hasn't it?
I voted no at that point because I thought, do we need a new manager right now? No. But if you put that up again now, I'd say yes.
It's 75% now, isn't it, roughly?
It's very different.
Yeah. So I'd probably go with the consensus.
There's no doubt that Jim's popularity has dropped significantly. I don't think there's any...
Can I dive in with an email? Because this sort of covers sort of what you're saying. This is from Tony. This is a text from Tony in Leicester. Can everyone get behind the team and stop calling for him to be sacked? Derek Bowden has said that he's got the whole season, and that's as it should be. He then goes on to say it's a squad game nowadays, so there'll be changes from game to game. He still keeps the settled back five and changes the midfield and strikers as necessary. At least he doesn't have to play people with knocks, which risks them getting worse injuries. What do you think?
Well, that is true. I mean, we have had a problem over the last few years of pretty much having a very small squad.
It's quite a sensible thing to say. I mean, he is... basically kept the back four the same than the goalkeeper for a while, although
it's coming back to the stats thing again. I think
and he hadn't had, obviously Bruce was suspended and then Thatcher was injured, so he didn't really have much choice that way. From Simon Allardyce, greeting from San Francisco, lucky.
People get
don't they? I like McCauley and think, given time, that he'll turn into a more than capable defender. However, as you've alluded, I don't think really he's our best captain. With that in mind, who would the esteemed panel, that's you, choose as captain? He'd go for Naylor.
Well, Naylor is the club captain, isn't he? New modern way of having additional captains.
It couldn't really be in the theory because none of them were set apart from Walters.
Well, that's
because none of them were guaranteed a place. So.
I still wonder whether the Walters might go in January anyway.
there
was talk in the summer of David Wright being the captain.
Would he be in the team if Ben Thatcher was fit?
Put him at right back and drop Walters.
Would you?
Because Walters disappointed me. I thought he was a very good player, but what I've seen of him so far defensively, he's not up to it.
Maybe better going forward.
He's better going forward, but...
I'm sure David Wright...
there was talk of him or McCauley doing the job.
I'd actually keep David Wright in even when Ben Thatcher's back at the moment, because I've not been overly impressed with Ben Thatcher.
I've never been impressed with him.
But it's difficult with captain, isn't it? All the other thing is, how much should you put by a kind of armband? Shouldn't there be other people in the team? Shouldn't, you know, the David Norrises and the other experienced players, and I don't know why I picked on David Norris, no particular reason, all the experienced players in the team to be kind of rallying the troops when
I don't think it's so vitally important.
Unless you've got a really outstanding player, going back to people like Bobby Moore and that sort of thing, who are really outstanding and can sort of translate from the manager, from the bench to the pitch and everything, and be sort of right-hand man on the pitch.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a really top-quality player like that, then that probably doesn't make a great deal of difference.
Right, a couple of quick ones, because we're running out of time.
We'll
have to do some of them next week. Martin, you just continue, really. This is from Brendan. Rotation is something big clubs who have interests outside the Premier League do. We're not in the Champions League, and our overriding priority is promotion to the Premiership, in which case we only need enough players for one game a week, and midweek games. Jim is experimenting and appeasing unnecessarily.
I think there's probably a certain
truth on that.
Keith Clarkson, for the first time, in brackets after the Forest game, I have to say that I'm very worried about the poor performance, and I'm surprised Phil is not saying this. Lack of ideas, no leadership, no pattern. I want Jim to be a great town manager, but really worry if he can make it work. Views, please, Phil, and be honest. Last night was poor, he says.
Oh, no.
I don't think it was that poor, actually.
I didn't think it was that good, I have to say.
No, but they played some nice football. Didn't have any cutting edge at all, and looked a bit dodgy on the break. But
I don't know, there's moments in games when you think, you can see what they're trying to do. And then there's other moments in games when you just think it's just going absolutely nowhere. Mm. And at the moment, they've been, with the exception of the Reading game, I think they've been unable to do that throughout an entire 90 minutes.
But do you think
that comes
from the inconsistencies in team selection?
Possibly. I mean, that's... It certainly probably doesn't help, does it, that the players are changed on a weekly basis. But at the same time, if you then have a number of players who are sitting out for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, is that doing the overall...
Particularly with the standard reserve team
the
football
squad
at the moment as well.
Well, yeah.
They're not getting any...
Is that doing the squad any good?
Obviously, with four games in, what is it, you know, the 10 days or 12 days or whatever, you're going to have to use more than 11 players. But it's just, for me, more that, it doesn't know who the first choice central midfield pairing are, and it just chops and changes too much. I wouldn't argue with if somebody at Garvin's had three games in just over a week, then you give them a rest for the fourth one. Fine, but it's just changing it wholesale every game almost.
I mean, what worries me more than anything, I have to say, as we're getting remarkably close to the end of the programme, is that I didn't think we were any better against Swansea than we were against Charlton. And I didn't think we were any better against Forest than we had been against Charlton. There seems to be no game-on-game improvement, which is, I think, is the bigger concern.
Yeah. You don't see that progress. You can't see what it's building towards.
No, and the fact that we concede stupid goals, and the fact that we don't score that many goals either. Mm. They're probably the things that concern me most. But I think that, I don't know, it's the period between now and Christmas, I think, is going to be absolutely vital for Jim. We're stealing your programme already, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm just going to nip off now. Keep Graham out of that show.
You better come over here, and we better finish. Just a quick one from our friend Steve in Sweden. Why not Campo at the back and Schumi in the middle?
I would say that Campo at the back, I just don't think he's got enough pace for it. I mean, you talk to Bolton fans and they say he's a central midfielder. Mm. Not
He played last Saturday at walking pace, and against a team like, especially like Swansea, who were moving the ball about quite quickly and quite well. That was where we'd be losing out.
Can I do a quick plug for the...
Oh yeah, sorry Phil, you wanted to plug.
A workshop for the what's it called, Ipswich Shall I Die book thing tomorrow at the Portman Road classroom between 5 and 8, I think. Full details on twtd.co.uk.
Excellent. And on that news, thanks everyone, thanks Martin, thanks Terry, thanks of course to Phil. Sorry for emails we didn't get around to reading. Pabs and Lee, we'll try and do that next week. Pabs and Lee and James Cummins, who sent in a very interesting piece of work which he's obviously been doing on the Abacus, and we'll try and cover that next week as well. So till next week, everyone, have a good one, take care, bye bye.